The prize, amazing love. Isn't it wonderful how God gives us all different gifts to do different things? We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, but before we get started in the message, let's have a word of prayer. Father, it's a blessing just to come into your midst, Father, and to open up your word. Father, open up the eyes and the ears and the hearts of everyone here today that we might get a glimpse of you and your message and what you want us to hear. Father, that we might go out and boldly share this with others and fulfill your mission. We love you and we praise you. And we pray right now for those that are sick in the mind and those that are sick in the body, but most of all, those that are sin sick. Let us be vessels for you, Father, to carry the love of Jesus to others. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Okay. You know, I have a couple questions this morning for you that I was just wondering about. You know, as a Christian, and I'm hoping that everyone I'm addressing out here is a Christian, and if you're not, today can be the day that you can become a Christian. Have you ever really stopped? I want you to think about this. Have you ever really stopped and thought about heaven and what it'll be like? You know, I wonder who will be there. Who's going to be there with us? Well, we know Jesus will, but this is just part of it. I want you to really stop and think now. Have you ever paid a lot, you know, into what is heaven and what's it about? Our scripture focus today will be in the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 44 through 46. I'll give you a second to turn there if you would with me, please. And we're going to learn a little bit about a hidden treasure and a pearl. Now, a lot of times this scripture, people read this and they get the wrong meaning from it. And I'm going to explain it a little bit for you today because it's going to tie into my overall message. As far as, and remember now, the message is the prize. We see here in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses starting with verse 44, Jesus states, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had, and he bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven, in 45 says, is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. Now here Jesus tells a story and a lot of people start thinking about what does this passage actually tell us? And when you get in and you start really digging into the word, and I happen to have one of these cheater Bibles, if you will, that tells me what these things mean. It talks a little bit about we come out and find that Jesus is trying to tell us that he actually is the merchant. He is the one going out in the field. And the pearl that you see in these passages is actually you. And he goes out and sells everything. And he gives everything away. And we see what Jesus done for you and I and the value that we have. He gave everything at the cross. Everything he had for you. Now as Christians, we owe everything to Jesus. Can I get an amen? And we should be following his instructions and his examples. Amen? Amen? All right, I just want to make sure everybody's awake here this morning. You know, in Matthew 4:19, Daniel stole my thunder this morning here on this one here. But that's okay. It's all right. Jesus states that if we follow him, we're going to become fishers of men. Now, I know everybody up there is looking up here and you're wondering what these fishing poles are for. I'm going to get into that in a minute. Be patient. Okay? And you know, Jesus only gave us one order and one set of instructions. As you look at the whole Bible, and as we start going through this and you look at everything, the Bible has a lot of wonderful stories and a lot of different passages and a lot of warnings and a lot of blessings and a lot of different things that it tells us. But in this now, Jesus is going to come and he's only going to give us one command. Now, you're going to read a lot of different commandments, 10 commandments and everything else that God gave Moses and everything back in the Old Testament. But Jesus gives us one. And we're going to look at this now because these are our marching orders. Now, remember, if we're Christians and we raised our hands and we said we're Christians, he said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But his one order now and his one command to us was, therefore go and make, this is found in Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And 20 goes on to say, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And it's said a little better in Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Now, when we start to take a look at the gospel and to preach it, we have to understand what the gospel is. Now, we all have a different idea what the gospel is. And I come and share this with you this morning because sometimes I think we make a whole lot more out of this than it actually is in what he's trying to tell us. And sometimes we don't make enough out of what he's trying to tell us. And that's the parallel that we're going to take a look at this morning. You know, we all have talents and gifts, and if you will, and we all have or will have a job, maybe multiple jobs, maybe even a profession. You know, God's gifted us with all these, and I wonder why he's gifted us with that. You know, he's gifted us so we can carry out that great commission. Have you ever thought about that and thought about your life as we start thinking about the jobs you're doing and the jobs that you've had? Why are you doing that? God has gifted you with this. And I want you to listen to this. And as you start to get in the scripture, all of this will make sense to you into your life and what we're here for. Now listen to this. In the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, the 10th verse, Paul comes out and said, for we are God's handiwork. Now listen to this. Created in Christ Jesus to go do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you see, as we take on this stipulation of being a Christian, there's a set of works we're going to have to do. And he's already laid that out for us in Matthew 28 when he talks about the Great Commission. And as we take a look at this, it starts to say that we've got to go become fishers of men so that we'll understand what the prize is. So you'll ask me this morning, Mr. Rick, how do I do this work? Because you're probably wondering, how do you do this work? Well, my answer to you is, let's go fishing. You know, in Matthew 4:18, Jesus begins his ministry. And isn't it funny now? I want you to listen now. Isn't it funny that Jesus' first disciples were fishermen? He must have known that these guys would do whatever it took to catch some fish. Now, everyone knows that I love to fish. That's no secret. If you follow me on social media or anything, you'll find out I love to fish and I love to evangelize. I love to talk about Jesus because it's all about Jesus. Well, you know, it's really good because I've found a way to do both. I have found a way to do both. And I call this my floating evangelistic machine. Now, I want you to take a look up here. And you're going to see my floating evangelistic machine. Now, in this is my bass boat. And if you take a look up here, you're going to see across the windshield, it says Team Jesus. And when I'm fishing, my jersey also says Team Jesus. And so does my hat that we had from Trunk or Treat. It says Team Jesus. I want everybody to know that. And you'll notice John 3:16 up there on the windshield also. You'll see this up there. Have you noticed you don't see John 3:16 so much anymore? Used to, you'd see it all the time. It's our job to go out and share the gospel. And people need to know what we stand for in everything we do. He's given us these hobbies and these gifts and everything else to enjoy. But while we're doing that, we're supposed to be doing things with the gifts that he's given us. And it's an awesome thing. And if you'll notice, you can't see up here on all of this, but if you'll notice on my boat up there where the light is at the front of the trolling motor, that's at the front of the boat up here. When I push on that trolling motor and I look down right there, it says Matthew 4:19. On my boat, it really does. And my son can attest to all this. If you open up the front hatch of my boat, the big hatch where all the stuff is, all the tackle and stuff in there, It says Romans 14:8. And Romans 14:8 says, I live for Christ and I die for Christ. So whether I live or die, I belong to Christ. And it makes me have a constant reminder of who I belong to and what I'm doing and how I'm supposed to share the gospel. Amen. Everything we have, ever will have, is a reflection of Jesus' love for us. So before any fishing trip, I have to tell you about my fishing trips now, and it's going to get good, so pay attention. You'll learn something today. And then some of you can teach me some things too, you know, like where you fish, so I can get these fishing holes. So before any fishing trip, especially a tournament, because I like to fish, I do three things. And I like to call these the three P's. All right, the three P's. And the first one is a plan. Now we're going to take a look up here. She's going to give me my next slide. And we're going to take a look at this. And as you look at this, you have to have a plan with what you're going to do before you go do it. Okay, now we got to keep in mind the prize. Now for those of you that aren't real fish savvy, this is a smallmouth bass. By the way, that's Daniel's favorite fish too. He'll let you know right up front. You know, you have to know what the fish are doing before you go fishing. You know, because if you look at the reservoir is a big body of water. It's not that big. I like to fish on like the Great Lakes or some of these other lakes that are just, they're huge. So you've got to know your prize, what you're after. What are they doing at that time? What mode are they in? Are they pre-spawn, spawn, or are they post-spawn? Where are they located at? Are they located shallow? Are they deep? Are they on the riprap, which is rocks that you see along the bank? Are they on grass or are they on the ledges? What are the fish feeding on? You have to know all these things before you go out there if you want to be successful. Now everybody's out there saying, Mr. Rick, I can go out with a cane pole and I can catch fish just by, you can. But they'll be about this big. Now, I like to catch the big ones. So you got to do a little bit of planning. And we'll show you about that. I like to catch the big ones. Okay. Then we're going to move on to the second P. Okay. The second P. And we'll take a look up here. We have the preparation. Now, here in the preparation, we got to get the boat ready. We got to make sure the boat has gas. There's nothing worse than being in the middle of St. Clair. That's a big body of water and running out of gas. Got to make sure it has oil. And heaven knows you have to make sure the drain plug is in. There's nothing worse than being out there in the middle of the lake and then all of a sudden you're wondering why there's more water in your boat than in the lake. And both bilge pumps are working. I speak from experience. Okay. Now in this preparation, we've got to make some decisions. Which rod are we going to use? Because we have to determine this with the baits and everything else that we're doing. Are we going to use, got to get this part here. Are we going to use a spinning rod, which is the easiest one to use? And it'll throw a lot of smaller baits and stuff on this. You got to know how to use these things, you know. Are we going to use this one? Or are we going to try to get high speed, if you will, and use this bait caster? And the baits that we use are going to be dependent on what type of rod we use. Now, this is all in our preparation. But we're going to do this, remember now, with our fish. We have the prize in mind because we want the big one. All right? Now, there's different baits that you got to use also. And I just happen to have a little tackle box to share with you this morning. Actually, I have two tackle boxes. I have the one that holds the bait. And I have my lunch tackle box. It's my granddaughter calls the Bible. And it is. You know, it's the bread of life, so it is my lunchbox. So we come out with this. Now we start taking a look at this. Are we going to use a rattle bait? Are we going to use these gigantic worms? I've yet to understand what a bass sees in this, but they love them. It doesn't matter, they love them. Are we going to use a crankbait? See these little crankbaits? Are we going to use a spinner bait? And last, but heaven knows not least, one I like to throw, especially when I'm fishing deep, do we use this jig? And you can't really see, but it's got little flappers on the end. And all these things mimic something. Notice I said they mimic something. And it's usually the bass's natural forage and natural prey. As we start to take a look at this, it all comes into play, and we tie all this together. And if we do it right, and we've done our homework, and we went out and pre-fished a little bit, and you use the information that other people give you, which some of you can give me some information when we're done, okay, we'll end up with, next slide, please. We'll end up with the prize. Now, you can look at the prize up here. Now, for those of you, again, that know me, as far as that, and you do follow a little bit on social media and you sit there and see my posts, someone once said, Mr. Rick, your website has been hacked, because I made a post one time when my sons and I went out fishing and caught a bunch of big bass. I like to call the big bass fat girls. If Sally was here, Sally would tell you, because she was laughing about it. She loved it. Now, in that, when they do that, because all female fish are the biggest. Okay, with this, and that, I love to chase the fat girls. So if you see that, don't think that I'm having some type of illicit affair or something. I'm out looking for big bass. I just had to share that. Jim asked me prior to this, he said, please tell me you're not going to share that. I said, yes, I'm going to share that. I want everybody to know me and know what Mr. Rick stands for. All right. Now that we've had a good laugh this morning, we're learning about Jesus. You know, I think heaven's going to be kind of like this too. And I bet Jesus up there laughing right now saying, I don't know how I created this guy. But he did. Okay, now you're saying to me, I don't fish. So how does this work for me? Okay, if you don't fish, well, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing or how you're doing it. You're still going to have to conduct your three P's. And there's a reason that you're going to do this. I don't care if you're playing the guitar, you're taking up an offering, you're teaching a Sunday school class, you're doing your regular job. In that, now, remember what I told you when we started this sermon at the beginning, we started talking about why we were given what we were given and what we're supposed to do with it in our jobs. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you drive a truck, you're a secretary, you're a homemaker. Okay, it doesn't matter. God has a plan for you. He gave this to you well before you were born, and he knew what he wanted you to do with it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that this morning. Remember the three P's now. Paul states it best in 1 Corinthians 9, 19-23 in that, because you know, with the gifts that we were given, we're given them for a specific purpose, in that we'll go meet a lot of different people in a lot of different areas. And my kids like to tease me about this, especially both my boys. We go up to Canada. Somehow I get a Canadian accent, eh? We go down south. I might get a little bit of a southern accent, you know, and talk a lot of people down south. It doesn't matter. Well, Paul states it best in Ephesians now, and I want you to understand this. Because you have a job now, and we have to stand out, yet blend in. Okay? We have to stand out, yet blend in. Now pay attention, because the Bible's going to tell us right here. Paul states it best. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I become like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, now listen to this, I might save a few. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. You know, this is where it really gets serious and we really hit home. We have fun with this and we start to take a look at it. And in that, I told you that my boat's a floating evangelistic machine. And you start to take a look at this. It truly is, because it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm out there as a representative of Jesus. Amen. Now, I want you to sit and stop and think about this here for just a minute. God's the king, amen? Amen. Now, I want you to look to the left and to the right of you. You see these people? These people are princes and princesses, if they're Christians. Now, I see some people laughing, looking at their husband or their wife and saying, yeah, right. Easy now. We're made in God's image. And we belong to the king. Now, you need to remember this when we start deciding who we're going to talk to and who we're not going to talk to. You know, Jesus gave us some of the best examples, and boy, he was hard on the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they started asking him, why are you talking with prostitutes and tax collectors and all these different people? You know, Jesus made the comment, look, I didn't come to heal the people that were well. We have to remember these three P's when we're planning. God saved you to get to somebody else. Remember that now. He saved you to get to someone else. Right. Now, in this, we're going to have a plan so we can tie this in. Because you're going to ask me, well, how do I get out there? Because a lot of people, I'm going to tell you, love to come to church. They do. They love to come to church, and I'm not going to judge anyone on their Christianity. That's not my job. Matthew 7 specific about don't judge. So I'm not judging. Okay? But they leave and they go out of the door and they go do their own thing and they forget that that's really where Christianity starts. Because you're only in here usually an hour a day. Maybe three if we do Sunday evening and Wednesday. But then you got all the other hours in the week that we got to get out there and share Jesus. We come in here, now listen to me, to learn how to go out and share Jesus. Okay, and this is what it's for as we start to take a look. So we're going to have a plan. Next slide, please. As we start to take a look at this. Now, as we look at this, we need to know the Word. You need to know the Bible inside and out. This is something I've been pushing for a long time, and Daniel always tells me, Rick, he always tells me, Dad, you're fixing to get fired because I'll teach the Bible in school. Amen. I'm not afraid. I'm really not. I would hate to stand in front of God and say that I didn't share the Word or share Jesus with someone because I would be afraid I'd lose my job. We got to know the Word and what the Word says. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it tells us what the Bible's about. It says, all scripture, now listen to me, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for, where did I say I was using that at in school? It says teaching. What are we supposed to do in school? Teach. Now, there'll be people argue with what we're supposed to teach, and I think that's where we're failing some, but that's neither here nor there. Rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You're not going to know what you're supposed to do or how to do it until you have a plan, and your plan starts by reading the Bible. And God will start to open your eyes on what you need to know. And then we've got to start to prepare. Next slide, please. Okay, next one. I always like this because it brings up a little child, and a little child's where we're supposed to go, and I got something on that here in a minute. I love this photo. Has anyone else ever seen this photo before? I have this at my house. I love this photo. It was given to me by an old lady who went on to be with Jesus. She was here from the church. I love that photo. We need to always be praying. I see some people that a lot of times all they'll do, they'll come to church and they'll pray, or they'll pray before their meals and everything. You should be praying as long as you're riding down the road talking to God. You know, prayer doesn't mean you have to close your eyes and do everything else. That's a continuous relationship where you're in communion with God. You know, I've found in my life that the times that I've failed are because I'm not in communion with God. And I've let the world come in. So we've got to always be praying. Ephesians 6:18 says this now, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Now, we're supposed to pray for each other. That's why we also come to church. Have a good time. I love when we have dinners over there. Heaven knows I like to eat. And you guys can cook. So, I mean, you'll be able to tell Nazarenes when you get to heaven. They'll be the ones with the knives and the forks in their hands. It's obvious. It's good to go. Well, you guys are looking at me. You don't think we're going to be eating in heaven? I asked you at the beginning, what do you think heaven's like? I can show you scripture that says we will be. And then I'll have people argue with me and say, well, really, I don't know. I've not been there. I will get there someday, though. And then we're going to move on. Now, we've looked at the plan. We know we're reading our Bible, and we know we're praying all the time. Now, we've got to keep this in mind before we start, and that'll go to the next slide, please. Now, as we start to take a look at this, we witnessed this last week, and this is the prize. Because now here's where it really gets good. And I love this the most, because as you get in the Bible, and from what I've learned, most people miss this. And I have to get close so you hear this, because we miss this. If I was to ask you, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? Now, they asked Jesus this also. They asked Jesus this also, and they cornered him with this here to try to catch him with this. Jesus will come out in Matthew 22, and he starts to share this. And he comes out and he says, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. All of you, love it. Just love God. Now, I will tell you right now, 99.9% of you in here do that. But it's that second part in the world we're failing. And he says the second is likened unto the first. And we need to be very careful here, because it says to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you want to get to heaven. You want to get to heaven. We're doing everything we can do. We read in this. We want to make sure we're following all these laws, and we're doing all these different things. And we're looking at this, and we're missing it. We're missing it because we're putting, listen to me, too much into this. You know, I draw back to one of the slides up there, and I told you about the little child reading the Bible. Jesus is very specific when he says that lest ye become like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And you need to understand what he's trying to tell us. That is a simple faith in what God has done for you. And that we humble ourselves now, listen to me, and become like servants. That's what he's trying to tell us. That second part is where we're missing. You know why? Because we look at little things, and I know a lot of people out here are going to get mad, but we're afraid to stand up for the things that are right. Unborn lives. Different people, because they don't look like us, or they don't smell like us, or they don't act like us, or they don't do anything else. You know, I'm glad Jesus loved me, because I'm sure not worthy. And he didn't say, well, I don't like Mr. Rick because he does this or he does that. He still went to the cross for me, and he was thinking about me when he went up there. You know, and as Christians, we really look at this and we start looking at the prize. And you know what the prize is this morning? The prize is in heaven. If you're saying heaven, it's heaven now. But prize is the people that we're going to take to heaven with us. Prize is the people we're going to take to heaven with us. Can you give me the next slide, please? Now, as we start to take a look at this, I want you to stop and think for a minute. You know, I asked you at the beginning of this message, what's heaven like? Who's going to be there? And it's really awesome when we start to take a look at this. You know, Jesus said, you'll be able to tell mine by the fruit they bear. You know, I started this sermon asking you this. And are we fulfilling that great commandment in Matthew 22? I don't know about you, but the words I want to hear when I'm in this situation right here and he wraps his arms around me is, well done, good and faithful servant. And it's not going to be for what I've done. It's for what I've done for others. Okay, Jesus has already done it all for us. He loved us enough, and we found that. We sung about it this morning, and that got me fired up when we was talking about amazing love. The amazing love he has for us, we should be able to share that with others. I just broke the fishing out because that's the way I love to share it. I just love to share Jesus because everything he's done for me. When he really has done everything for you and you start seeing this, it's easy to do it. It's not a job. It's an adventure. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I'd be remiss not to have an altar call, so Case is going to come up and play for me this morning, for us, I should say. And as he comes up to play, I'm just wondering if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior. You know, today's the day. This is the biggest thing that scares me the most. When I go to the hospital, and if my sister was here, she's right now, she's with Jesus, and my dad also, but it was one of these things when I went to the hospital to see different people, if I know they're close, the only thing I'm asking, and I share this with you, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Because it doesn't matter. We pray for everything else. We need to pray for those that don't know Jesus. And to share Jesus with them. That's our job and that's our calling. So if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray right now you'll ask him into your heart. And the altar's open. If there's anybody out here that really didn't think about the second part of that greatest commandment, and maybe you need to open up to people more, or maybe you need to share more. The altar is always open to come up and ask Jesus to give you the strength. You know, you don't have to come to the altar. You can do it right there where you're sitting, which is fine also. But you need to have that open heart and be honest with God. And this is the part that I always like to share with Jim. And it's going to be on one of my hashtags other than hashtag Team Jesus. It's one of these things. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be standing right there. And we're only going to get there with a pure heart. So as Case plays, if you feel that you need to come up and share or you need to pray for somebody, the altar's open. Please come forward. This is a place that you can come. That's what this is designed for. No one looks at you funny. I always just think, I'm not going up there. People look at me and wonder about it. I find myself wanting to be here every Sunday, up there, talking to him. If the Spirit's moved you in any way, please come forward.